Okay, Larry, let me ask you to do a couple things. One is describe a little bit about the work within the agricultural part of what ORR is doing, but if you could also sort of relate that to microenterprise organizations who are working with the immigrant refugees, I guess in this case not immigrants, coming into the U.S., small businesses, what role would you recommend for the nonprofit that's actually working with the entrepreneur? How can they help out? But first, give you a little background on the program itself.
Well, the purpose of the Refugee Rural Initiative really is to create opportunities for refugees to get into agriculture. Most of them come from agrarian backgrounds, so we really are looking for ways to help them achieve sustainable income or self-sufficiency. And we do this through local demonstration projects. And we identify challenges in each community through these projects. And really, we've identified about six different challenges. And these are production, land acquisition, financing, collaboration, in other words, establishing partnerships, marketing, and the whole issue of culture and language transcend all the other things. Marketing, we feel, is the thing that stirs the drink. In other words, we think that's the most important element. You start with that, then you go back and look at the other things and how you fit into that market niche. But we think refugees have agrarian backgrounds, and there's a whole movement in this country now of sustainable agriculture, healthier lifestyles, better nutrition. We think that's important that we fit into that particular niche, that market. So that's really where we're coming from. I'm not sure I answered all your questions, but...
Well, what advice would you have for members like AEOs that are microenterprise development organizations around the country that work, in some cases, with refugees to help them start their business, but also give them training and technical assistance and sometimes financial literacy and how things work here, but what? How could they work with this particular segment of the refugees that have a kind of agrarian experience? Well, what would you recommend that they do to participate through your program?
Well, I'd recommend that they get in touch with the refugee serving organizations and talk to them about the possibilities in terms of their clients. Are there clients that they can serve through their programs specific to agriculture? Many refugees need small loan amounts to get started. So they could certainly offer up their loan services, their micro lending programs to these refugees. They have an excellent record in terms of repayment under our own microenterprise program. So I would say that really the main option would be to look at how they might provide micro-lending, perhaps training services, some of the technical assistance that refugees need. Refugees tend to be very poor record keepers. Therefore, they have difficulty obtaining loans through conventional sources, banks, etc. So anything in the way of better business practices, business development that your organizations, are very familiar with, would be helpful.
Is there anything specific for refugees who work in this particular area of agriculture as opposed to refugees who might be starting up an auto repair shop or a restaurant or a store or something like that? Is there anything particular that the nonprofits ought to know about or keep in mind when they're trying to provide assistance to this group?
Well, I don't know if this is going to answer your question, but the approach we've taken is to establish demonstration projects, and these are to look at the challenges and better understand what those are and the opportunities. They range from an urban projects in San Diego and also in Denver, where they're looking at community food security as well as helping refugees integrate into a community. We know that the ability of refugee families to eat, to grow and eat their familiar foods is therapeutic. It helps them integrate. The other extreme is a project we have in Fresno, where this year the goal is for 40 farmers to sell $1 million worth of produce to institutional markets. The other projects, the other seven projects, are somewhere in between all those. We have a smaller project similar to San Diego in Minnesota. But I think, personally, that institutional markets are the most, offer the most potential in terms of refugee income. Now, they're also probably the most difficult of the market elements. In other words, of the market options, I would say that institutional markets are probably the most difficult to satisfy, because you're competing with major distributors, which means you have to have a consistent supply and quality of produce. In other words, you can't miss, you know, supplying them what they need.
So how long has this program been around at OR? This is not one that I've ever heard about before.
Well, this, it's been around about, in terms of funding, this will be, next year will be the fourth year of funding. Started out very small. It's not heavily funded. This year there will be $1 million that will be competitively bid for grants for projects starting in October. So it's really about a 3.5-4 year project. It was started by the previous director of the Office of Refugee Resettlement. We do have a memorandum of understanding, an MOU with USDA. So I work a lot with USDA and get a lot of support from USDA, and they deserve some of the credit. CASRA's project in San Diego was really, we started it, helped him start it, but really the main financing for what he has done has come from USDA funds. So we emphasize the whole idea of partnerships with USDA. The Kellogg Foundation is a good partner. We work with the National Immigrant Farming Initiative. So a lot of different partners.
Hey, Casper, could you tell us a little bit about your program in San Diego, and how does it work, and who do you work with?
Certainly. As Larry said, our program in San Diego is kind of on one end of the spectrum of the work that's being conducted under the RRI. We're in an urban setting, and so there isn't necessarily a lot of farmland available or a lot of agricultural activity, traditional agricultural activity. What we're doing in San Diego is more focused around community food security, and as Larry said, the USDA Community Food Projects grant program has given us support to administer this work. And I guess by food security, we're looking at a number of things. Refugees come into the country and they don't really have an understanding of the foods that are available to them here. They're just unfamiliar with them, and it's very difficult to make healthy choices. Also, with kind of our fast food culture, it's very easy, especially for economic reasons, to make unhealthy choices. And so that's one of the things that we're looking to address in a number of unique ways to kind of impress this nutrition education in a manner that will be impactful and useful. What we're also then looking to do in connecting it more with agricultural production and microenterprise is we're looking to start an urban farm where we can provide access to land for refugees to come in and grow their own food, either for personal consumption or we hope in a year or two to be able to get them going into access to markets. At the same time, we're setting up a farm-to-school system wherein the San Diego Unified School District would purchase all of its produce from local farmers in San Diego. And by establishing those channels, we hope that we'll be able to plug refugees into them as well. And we're piloting that program at a school that has the highest population of refugees there, so that the students then get the benefits of the increased nutrition, and we then have access to this channel that we can try and funnel people into. It's also great for food business entrepreneurs that we're working with. These institutional channels that Larry identified, we think are phenomenal. And again, there are challenges with quality and consistency and everything that we're dealing with.
Could you tell us some of the countries that the refugees have come from that you're working with in San Diego?
Sure. Some of the countries that refugees come from, most of our clients are Somali. I'd say about 80% of our caseload currently is Somali, and even more particular, Somali Bantu, who have a rich agrarian background. We also still are getting, I'd say about 10% of our caseload would be Vietnamese, some Iranians, and I think just today the first Burmese refugee is being resettled into San Diego, and we expect to have a lot more of them coming in the next year.
Do you have any recommendations for any micro-enterprise groups about what they might do, and they could access the program, or what kind of projects would make the most sense for them to look at?
I think it's a little challenging to give broad advice, because I think what projects make sense are so dependent on the context in which they're conducted. Again, in San Diego, it's not a big agricultural center. It's not rural. And so we looked at ways in which we could stay within kind of the mission of the RRI and of the USDA Community Food Projects grant, but cater those to meet the challenges evidenced by refugees in San Diego and help them to take advantage of opportunities that existed in San Diego. So I guess what I would say would be to really take a good look at the built environment in which you're operating. Look at the backgrounds and history of your clients, as well as the opportunities that may exist in that environment. And through that process, see if there could be any kind of match. I mean, a lot of the work that we've done has been community driven as well. That is, we had meetings with in home visits with Somali Bantu families. The desire to have access to land to grow their own food was expressed to us, and so we felt better about going out and kind of implementing a program that they wanted and making it happen. So I guess I would just say, look at the environment, look at your populations and the opportunities, and see if there's a match.
Okay, Cassar, tell me a little bit about the microloan program that you're also doing with ORR, and how the microloan and the agricultural program go together, complement each other for your organization.
Certainly, our microloan program is really the core program that we've been administering in San Diego since 2000. And a few years ago, when the RRI was first implemented and they were looking for demonstration projects, I believe the sentiment they were looking for was that these projects should be really kind of market driven and housed within microenterprise programs. And so that's where we became involved, and part of that process was remuneration, counting how many refugees are involved in agricultural production, so that then the idea being you could leverage your existing microenterprise structure to assist them in achieving economic self-sufficiency or increasing their family income with your microenterprise loan fund and technical assistance and other things. And so that's where we started. Again, in an urban setting, we especially with the land costs in San Diego, we weren't able to find any refugees farming in the area. San Diego County does have some farmland around it, but it's not something that was there. And so what we were able to do, though, is look at setting up food businesses and value-added businesses that could draw from local farming and small farmers, but then also create products that refugees could take through a value-added process and bring to market. And so we started working on a food business incubator project that was tied to a commercial kitchen, again, leveraging the technical assistance expertise that we had, the loan fund, the access to capital that we could provide. But also in doing this work and getting us kind of looking at and involved in the agricultural sector, we were able to leverage the RRI demonstration project to receive funding from the USDA Community Food Projects grant, which really helped us expand the scope of our program to address the host of food security needs that I discussed earlier. San Diego has the nation's lowest food stamp redemption rate, and that's something that we're looking to address right now. It's simply the bureaucracy that's built into the system. There's so much paperwork and fingerprinting, and it's a long process to get food stamps and to stay on food stamps. Refugees, when they're resettled, are guaranteed their food stamps. The case managers handle it for some time, but we found many families after the 8 months, after a couple years, were not receiving this benefit. And so one of the main things that we've been focusing on is trying to make sure that people maintain and receive the food stamp benefit that they need, sometimes helping to, in essence, double a family's budget. And we've woven that into our financial literacy program in terms of budgeting for in terms of a family's food budget and how food stamps can significantly increase that and helping people to come on, which then ties back into the microenterprise piece, and that with a better budget, with some more expendable income, people now have some more opportunities to then start and expand their businesses. So there's this seemingly disconnected array of programming that does all in certain key respects really create a lot of synergies around what we're doing. Another thing that we're doing is each month we're giving away canvas bags of fresh, locally grown produce to refugee families who come in every month. They come in to receive their cash assistance check and receive resettlement services from IRC. And so our hope is that when we get the urban farm set up, that we can source the production of the produce that goes in these bags to the urban farm, and that maybe IRC can become an institutional buyer of some of the things that are grown at the farm, and we can bring them in, give them to new refugee families so that they have immediate access to fresh produce, and then tie those into nutrition and cooking classes so that they know what to do with it and how to cook it in a healthful manner, and then also work with people who may be on the farm and want to work with other institutions to grow their business. And we have the expertise in farming now on staff, and these projects have really helped us to develop a whole new type of staffing for our projects, as well as the business expertise and loan fund, especially, that we have to help people support startup businesses when we help them access the land. So it's a wide array of programming, but it all really does come together nicely, and there's a lot of synergies involved in doing so.
Yeah, very good. This is a good way to tie it all together. It gives a good perspective overall of how these can work together. Hopefully we can see some other groups do the same thing and pick up on this kind of little known and new program and sort of integrate it with some of the other microloan activities that are a little better known. Larry, one question I had earlier that came back to mind here is we were talking about San Diego. Are most of the grantees in urban areas? Are there any more, like Fresno's pretty good size too, there's any smaller cities or more rural groups that are participating in this program as well?
Well, out of 9 projects this year, we say 7 of those are rural and 2 are urban. But almost all refugee farmers still live in urban areas and commute out to rural areas up to 25 miles away. The normal pattern is to lease from 1 to 10 acres of land, usually also on a one-to-one basis. So even though we call them rural projects, they're rural only because the land is in rural areas. But almost everywhere, the refugees live in the urban setting and commute out. Now, there are a few refugees living in rural areas. There are some Hmong that are raising poultry in the Ozarks, and some Hmong refugees in particular that are raising their poultry and other things in North Carolina and Georgia. But otherwise, most refugees still live in urban areas. One of our goals, we have a project in Denver, for example, the urban project, where there are 25 Somali Bantu families are getting land from the city of Denver on 4 acres and will be selling in a farmer's market. But their long-range goal is to live in a rural area.
Okay, thank you.